Gracious Father in heaven, we come to you at this time now, Father, to come, listen to thy word, and to understand, Lord, again your plan and purpose for your children. And as we gather here, Lord, together, there's a few of us and in different homes as the family gather together with others too. And even, Lord, all those out on the YouTube in other countries. Lord, as we come, I ask the Lord, you touch everyone. Just a little touch of your love. A little touch of your grace. A little touch of your mercy. A little touch, O Father, of the Spirit of Christ in every one of us. To keep us, Father, Lord, in thy word. And in thy promise, O Father, that that this festival will pass over us, as it was in the day when the children of Israel was in Egypt, and that the death angel passed over them. So let the blood of Jesus Christ be upon us, cover us, and the word of the Lord overshadow us with the wings, or the mighty wings of Jehovah, the Lord our God. So Father, as you approach now, let us everyone be in peace, and Lord, be comforted by the promised word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we can say, all is well with our soul. All is well with every one of us. And now, Father, bless the word in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, I just want to go through, as I said, the more that I speak louder, the more my throat gets irritated. Alright, let's go to the book of Acts. And Acts 15, where we left off, but we're going to look at we're going to examine the origin of decision making regarding what happened in the early church. Now, last week we touched upon the definition of what liberty is. What is liberty? And remember, liberty is freedom. And it's free for you to exercise your faith in Christ. But liberty also involves your choices. In choice making, what do you do with your liberty? Alright, so now we come to this, because at the beginning of the church, after the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was being preached, and people start coming to the faith, and then we have the issue of how the gospel began to move over to the Gentiles. And so when the Gentiles comes into the faith, well, the apostles and the church in Jerusalem, well, they had a problem to understand how is it that the gospel of God was even given to the dogs, which of course the Gentiles. Alright, so we read Acts 15 verse 1 onward. So that we can recap a little bit of what we left them last week. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And we know that this was because of religious Jews. And they were not from those in Jerusalem, so to speak. They were from Judea. They were those who were not of the fellowship that is in Jerusalem, actually, because as the gospel is being preached from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, then to the outermost part of the world. So because the gospel stopped from Jerusalem, he went out and then to Judea. So you know, that's how we get this religious Jew that were converted. very Judaist, well, we call it, or we will say they were deep in the faith of Judaism and holding very much to the law of Moses. So they will propagate this. And, well, let me say this to you that last week, I would say, a brother from overseas sent me a PDF file. Attached a PDF file to it, and it's entitled Gunism. And the brother asked me, he said, do you think I should read this? You know? And I told him, I said, well, if you want what you want to know, you know, it's a you feel they want to know what this man is trying to say, you know, if you think that it's not wasting all your time. The PDF file is, about 80 pages, or almost 100. I was scrolling through, I said, my goodness, the page after pages that are other pages. So, and I came to page 78, and I think there's more. I think probably it's almost 100 pages. And this person who wrote this PDF file, and it was dated 2017. That was about 3 years ago. And the person who wrote this, who authored this book, or this message, what you call, is actually Dalton Bruce. And he has an axe to grind. Once he was exposed by, you know, because of what, you know, he's a man, actually, he's a preacher, who always preach a series, not really preach a series, but he will damn every preacher, and he will entitle it damnable heresy. Alright, and call everyone who don't agree with him heretics. Everyone who don't quote what Brother Branham says, heretics. And so in this PDF file, it's all the quotes of Brother Branham. You will say, oh, Richard Gant said this, he's a heretic, you know, and he's this, he's that, and this is what Brother Branham said, and it's all back up by the quotes of Brother Branham. You hardly find a quote from the scripture at all. It's all the quotes of Brother Branham, you know. And he will twist my word, he'll pick a statement and then, and twist it. And he even said, you know, he Raymond Jackson, these two preachers call themselves thunders. You know, we don't even say that. Whoever claimed that they are thunders are foolish people. And for Dr. Bruce to claim that we claim that we are thunders, he is a foolish man. You know. And in one place, I think our grounds too, is, oh, one thunder is already dead. I don't know who that is, anyway. You see, so, and when I read the Bible like this, I realize that, you know, human being never change. And history will repeat itself. God's people will do the same thing that were done in the very beginning, as you read in the book of Old Testament. You see how many of God's people make the same mistake over and over again. And then you see in the New Testament the same thing. Now, when we talk about liberty here, that is what I'm looking at here. When we talk about liberty in Christ, but these people here in verse 1, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, Dalton Bruce is saying the same thing, not of course about Moses, but if you don't believe Brother Branham is the absolute, you cannot be saved. More or less, you cannot make the rapture, you are not a believer, you are damned. Now, where did he get this kind of liberty? That's definitely not in Christ. Because when you have the liberty in Christ, you have to look at the Word. It doesn't give you the freedom to take something from the Bible and twist it, something from the law and twist it, take something from grace and twist it, or somebody else teaching and twist it, and presumptuously accuse a man of calling himself this, that, and everything. And I really pity men like this, because the Bible, first of all, in Masalia, the Bible was written, they were written, all these were written for our mission, for our learning. And yet people open the Bible, read it, oh yeah, this man is like that, he's such a sort of, you know, prophet and apostles and believer, they're behaving like this. And yet, we never learn from what they have done, the error that they have committed. And we still do the same thing. You know. So what gave this man here to say this? It's because he was so religious. And I said many, many times, so everywhere I go, the congregation of people, when I'm Africa or India, Philippines, I say, oh, you people are very religious here. Love to sing and dance. You know. That's all right, but don't be religious. Be spiritual. You've got to be spiritual and understand the Word of God. Because if you don't, then you're all religious. You know what I'm saying? You love to dance and sing and praise the Lord. You can see that every Sunday. And that's what Brother Branham said. It's so true. Every Sunday, the devil is being worshipped. And that's so very true. Because a lot of people, they worship, they know not what. Because if you want to worship God, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And what is truth? Not that Brother Branham said, not that Brother Branham said, not that Brother Branham said. I said to somebody, I wrote in the Facebook, and I'm caught up in the Facebook now, I'm going to enjoy it a little bit and try to get understanding and try to enlighten the people a little bit. You know? So I said, yeah, because people don't seem to understand. There's a lot of people that get their opinion. But I don't argue with them or anything. If somebody, they say, oh, Brother, somebody said this and this and this. So I just give a little, you know, edification. I said that you can quote Paul, you can quote Peter, you can quote Moses, you can quote Luther, you can quote Wesley, you can quote Brother Branham, alright, you can quote the Pope. As long as the quote that is said, it is, you know, if the statement is true, you can say amen. And I said, if the Pope said that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I can say amen. But I said, if the Pope or an atheist or a madman that say that we should pray to Mary, that we should pray to Mary or Paul or St. Peter, or whoever, because their heart is more tender than Jesus Christ, then I said that's an error. Because they didn't die for us. You see, that's why you say, why is it that it is being propagated? You hear it from the Catholic. They themselves confess, we were told to pray to Mary, you know, because she will plead for us on our behalf. And bring our request to the Lord Jesus Christ, because her heart is more tender. And being that she is the mother of Jesus Christ will feel soft to listen to her. Now, you see, that's the kind of teaching. The freedom, liberty, to say whatever we want and to twist all this biblical, or the Word of God into some biblical nonsense that is not true. And people get into the state of having tradition. You do what you do every time on come Sunday or come whatever religious time you have, and you do traditional things. You know. In my discussion and a talk when we visit the place last few days ago to find about the room, I had a discussion with this man. You know, he was telling me, you know, he came out from the Assemblies of God also, and he having his own ministry, he doesn't agree with all this denomination. And he mentioned an example where, you know, some churches say that you must be baptized, else you're not safe. And he said, I told them, I said, did the thief get baptized? You know. So I said, I agree with you. But then I add and tell him, I said, then when a person who calls himself a Christian should have the initiative, he says, I want to be baptized. Because a Christian must follow the word of God. But we cannot force it on him. Say, hey, now that you believe in Jesus, you must be baptized. We don't force. We teach. We guide. Let them see what the Bible is saying. He agreed. You see, that's the thing. People force. A lot of churches force upon a person. And I remember back in the Assemblies of God, you need to speak in tongues or you don't have the Holy Ghost. So you know when you talk, when you teach, I mean, when I hear these things, what do you think I feel? Because I was young, because you know you were taught. If you don't speak now, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Oh, okay. You don't get baptized, you are not saved. Oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? You don't pray five times, six times, seven times a day, you're not saved. You're not a Christian. Oh, okay, I'll do it. And it's because of this traditional teaching. The Christian, true believers, sometimes don't understand the liberty that is in Christ. And this becomes an issue. And you know, God has a way of getting His truth out to His people. At such a certain time, certain things happen. That's why I always say this. If you're looking for revelation, if you're looking for something about, say, I don't understand this, don't worry. Don't worry too much. Just be prayerful, search the Word of God, ask somebody whom you think you can trust Him to be able to guide you, and you still cannot, then don't be upset. Don't get all worked up and all this. You know, just put it on the shelf. Because I believe this, that the revelation of God comes to you at an appointed time. Huh? And I said this before that Brother Hawking. You know, I love the brother, you know, the elder brother, you know, he was the leader of the Latter-day Rain movement. He's one of two of them, the other brother of his. The thing is this, he knew Brother Abraham was the prophet, the messenger of the age. But he cannot agree with Abraham on the original sin. He said, how can it be? How could it be? And he bothered him quite a lot. He said, how could that be a doctrine? He said it took him don't know how many years down the road because before the Lord opened his eyes. You know, you can teach a person like you can say this, you can bring a horse to the water trough, but you cannot force him to drink. Is that right? That's wrong. You know. Even a video that I find funny. You can sit on a camera. And a camera, before you can mount a camera is always on the ground, kneel down. Right? And you mount because it's high. And if the camera, no matter how you try to get the camera to stand up, if he refuses to stand up, he just don't stand up. The camera has sometimes it's very stubborn like a donkey or like a mule. You see. So you can bring somebody the word of God. You know? And if he drinks it, he doesn't quench it because he doesn't understand. You see, I'm still thirsty, but still don't understand. So, I say this and always remember. Let God have His way in your life. Amen? Yeah. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. And there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So now there were certain people from Judea. Okay, they probably are not Pharisees. They're probably very religious, cultic follower of Phariseeism. All right, or the tradition, the keeping of the law of Moses. And but here, when they gather in Jerusalem, when the apostles were and the elders of the church were, there was a certain sect of the Pharisees. As I said this, the Bible says sect. And as I said, there are many sects. Alright, even in Christian today, there are many sects. So these were the ones also they said, yeah, from what they heard of what Paul said, that the gospel went to the Gentiles, and they have received the Holy Spirit, they are born again now. Say, well, they need to be circumcised. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto the men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God make choice among us that the Gentile by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which know the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciple, which neither our father nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonder God hath wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruin thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. And the Lord who doeth all these things, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we reckon to them that they abstain from pollution of idols, from fornications, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of all old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Then pleaseth the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren sent greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from among us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we give no such command. Now, you know, with this discussion that was going on, and finally they come to this agreement, so to speak, of what James said after Peter gave his, you know, his speech, and then Paul and Barnabas give what the report of what God was doing among the Gentiles, and James is the brother of Jesus, who was then the bishop there of Jerusalem, then give his final conclusion as what they should do. That the apostle agreed. Now, as I said, I don't know whether how long this you know, this council, you know, last. But the thing is this, is why they were agreeing on this, I believe that those sect of the Pharisees, they were still not happy, obviously. But they have not said because they were not the elder of the church. You know? So they were there, they were converted, and they were there. But the thing is this, when this was given, it was written, at this time, and Paul and Barnabas being sent. But the thing now, where you want to look at it is now is, what was this thing that were written, that was sent to the Gentiles? We know that it is found in verse 20. They were supposed to abstain, they were to abstain from idol, the pollution of idols, anything to do with idols. Okay? And of course, it was just a very vague definition of word. Avoid, as you say, abstain from pollution of idol. What do you mean by pollution of idol? You cannot touch an idol. You cannot eat food of the idol. Is that what it means? Because it's abstain from pollution of idol. You see what I mean? It's not that you abstain from worshipping an idol. Yes, abstain from pollution. Anything that pollutes you, anything that connects with that idol thing. So obviously it's food offered to idol too, right? You see? Or don't touch the idol, don't have anything to do with idol. You see? Alright. And then of course, you know, abstain from fornication. And from blood, anything to do with blood, don't eat anything that's strangled. So, these are very basic. Now, when you think about this, again, we are talking about here examining the what do you call it? The origin of the decision they were handed out from Jerusalem. Now, and as I said, this is the beginning of the church. This is the first council. Alright? We call it the Jerusalem Council, not the Nicene Council. And of course, because of what happened here in this council, later on when they have problem with doctrine, the churches come together and hold a council. And Constantine was the one who called for a council in 3 to 580 over the doctrine of the Godhead. Because there were already the split between one group on the west, they believed that there is a three person, a trinity, and those, the Arian group, they says, no, there is only one. So they sit together and then discuss, I don't know how long it takes to discuss, how many days, and finally, the majority say that there are three persons and one God. Now, as you know, even Barabbas, I make a simple statement. God does not work with groups. Right? You see, he deals with individuals. Because how do you deal with a group of people? Everyone have their own opinion. And not everyone can really listen and understand. But in this council here, there was this Peter, there was James, and the other apostles, and we had the elders. Now, Paul and Barnabas was not in this group. You understand? Paul, Barnabas, and Silas, they were not apostles. They were just prophets and teachers. They have nothing. All they do is whatever was handed down to them on a piece of paper or scroll, what is written there, they say, suppose bring these letters and share it with all those other in Antioch and Asia and Syria and Cilicia, and told them, said, this is what the elders and the apostles in Jerusalem tells you. God is not in council like this. Never in a group. You see. And we can later understand how, even though the Paul was there, with all respect to the elders and the apostles there, because after all, he was not of the 12. He was born He was one born out of due season for a purpose. God could have chosen him. I mean, Christ could have chosen him as a, you know, as a disciple of his. Why didn't he? Of course, Paul was not around at that time. Perhaps he was too busy studying and being educated in theology. All right. So now, let us look at this. In verse 24, is in the last part. For as much as I heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we give no such commandment. We never ever tell them to tell you that you need to be circumcised. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. The other chosen men, you know, that out of them, Silas also went with him. And 26, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing by mouth. So this is trying to get this gentleman to see that they are, that these people were with us. They are witnesses to what we have discussed and agreed upon. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no further burden than these necessary things. Here I want you to look at the scripture. It's always people who read the Bible don't understand why it was written the way it was written. And they just pick the word here and say, see, it says that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no other burden than this necessary thing, that you abstain from meat offered to idol, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, and from which ye, if you keep yourself, you shall do well, fare you well. So they take from that. The Holy Spirit says, don't eat blood. Don't eat food offered to idol. You understand what I'm saying? And from things strangled, and from fornication. Therefore, Christians never eat blood or any animal that is strangled. Now, they take this verse here because the word Holy Spirit said so. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? And this is what the people like Donald Bruce is hitting out. He eats blood. He says, okay, they eat blood. You know, and he even hinted out that, you know, choosing my word as usual, that I allow women to wear pants, wear trousers. He used the word like that. And he wears sarong, which is a woman's dress. My goodness, that's not what these people down there out there. He's a Trinidadian. He is from Trinidad. I believe, and he comes out of America sometimes, because he goes to America so often, he speaks like American. And the American spirit caused a lot of people to twist word and what is going on in America today. Donald Trump, he's going to win the election, no doubt again. Because why? He's going through a lot of doing a lot of things that is unconventional. He will try to seize power back. And some Christians say to me, but then I believe Donald Trump will come back, because God is going to use him to bring about the building of the third temple. Like Cyrus, all, you know, allowed the children of Israel to build a third temple, to go back and build a temple. He will be the one that is like Cyrus. Whether it's Donald Trump or not, it doesn't matter, because the Jews will have the third temple. But the Bible does not tell us how it's going to work. Because even now, this the Orthodox Jews are trying to get Benjamin Netanyahu, you know, to allow them to worship during the sacrifice on the Temple Mount. So whatever, the thing is that if the Jews are going to do that down there, even big President Donald Trump say, you can go ahead and do it. What do you think is going to happen? There will be unrest. Even now, the relationship with of Israel, with the Saudi Arabia, with the UAE, the Pharisees say it's a betrayal. So whatever he's going to build a temple right there, no matter who, no matter the big boss of the world who think that he is the, in America he's always the big policeman, even Donald Trump said, go ahead, do you think the person is going to seek well? And I believe there is going to be a problem. Though, you know, the only time that I believe that Israel would be able to build a third temple is there is an earthquake right there. To bring down the whole of that, all the religious site, just cut it open and bring down what they call the dome. Right? You know? That place, so that the Jew can take it back. Something's going to happen. But it's not going to be because of Donald Trump, or it's going to be who and all that. How do you think that Cyrus was the one that said to the children of Israel, you can go back? Why? Because God already said so in the book of, in the prophecy, right? And he said, even mentioned Cyrus my name. Unless you can find Donald Trump's name in the Bible, he's the one who's going to get the whole thing going. Now, coming back to this here, when we read the Bible like this, like a brother back many years ago, because of the doctrines of the two gospels, entitled the two baskets, the baskets of Peter and the basket of Paul. So two different baskets. As it was, Peter carried the basket to a Jew, Paul carried the gospel basket to the Gentiles. So there are two different gospels. But the thing is this, there must be 12 apostles, excluding Paul, and therefore who was the 12 apostle? There was Matthias. So they bring in the Matthias, by what? Because the Bible said so, and the Lord fell upon Matthias, remember? But before the law was cast, what do you read in the Bible? They said the disciple prayed, right? Is that right? The disciple prayed before they cast the Lord, and the Lord fell upon Matthias. So of course, this brother said, you see, brother again, they prayed, and the Holy Spirit chose Matthias. Brother and sister, we can all pray, right? We can all make our own choices. That's why I said between Barsabbas and Matthias, only 11 apostles casting lot. How many vote the Matthias get? I asked the brother. Did he get 6? Just one vote more than Barsabbas? Right? So is that the will of God? The Bible didn't tell you it was 6-5, or that it was all 11 that goes to Matthias. Because why? We all have favoritism, right? We all have favorites, don't we? We listen to people more than the others. Very natural. Is it not right? You see. There are some brother, they asked me, some even sisters or family. When they always ask me, how many children do you have? He said, I have 2. And I said, boy and girl. Huh? You're boy and girl, huh? Okay, I think you love the girl better than the boy. I said, what do you think so? I said, no, I love that equally. Oh, come on, brother. You definitely love her more than your son. You see, the idea, because father always loved the daughters more than the son. You know, so that's your opinion. Maybe they love their daughters more, so they probably think that I love the daughter more than the son. But in one way or another, everybody has favorites. So we cannot say because they prayed and they cast lot, it was still the liberty of your choice. As I said, in liberty, you always mean choice. It's okay to cast lot. But the question is it really the will of God? Huh? So when we come to this verse 28, it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no other burden other than these necessary things. Because you see, when we pray about certain things that we do and make a choice after much prayer, we feel, we always say, yeah, the Holy Spirit led us to this. Right? Yeah. As long as it is not something really contrary, it's okay. It's good. Keep away from idols. Food strangled. I mean, food offered to idols. But here, it wasn't mentioned. Just keep away from pollution of idols. Alright? And even now in verse 29, when we said about abstain, say abstain from food offered to idol now. It is clear here. Right? It's okay. But Paul later on do not agree with this. Because there's no liberty, because it's still bringing in law. As I said, these are laws. Like it or not, these are laws. The decision that were made. Because even the Holy Spirit allow it to be because they are still learning. This is one thing we should know. This is not the law of the Holy Spirit. That thou shalt not eat food offered to idol. Because in the Old Testament, yes, all this law they were there, right? Because they serve a purpose. But when it comes under the gospel, there's no law to be given. Except the law of the Spirit of the life of the Word of God. Alright, now let's continue. Verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. You see, the Gentiles very happy that they don't have to be circumcised. It's a relief. Because this is something new to them. You receive, you just think about it, brother and sister, when you first come to the gospel, there are a lot of things you do not know. And alright? There are a lot of things you do not know. You see? So when you come to the gospel, then you say, alright, if you're a believer, let's get baptized. And explain to you the significance of baptism. Okay. Then how that as a Christian you should walk in Christ. How you should act in public and at home. How you should dress and so on and so forth. And later on we see all this. The Bible tells us how that we should act. But these are not law to you. Do you understand what I mean? They are not law falls on you, not the laws of men. But it is the basic law, the spirit of life that is in you, which we should bring forth glory to Christ. And therefore our character, our life should shine before men. And the Bible says you are an epistle read by all men. Alright, how many years down the road here now, I don't know how many years since Pentecost, perhaps you can say about 3 years, probably 5 years, I don't know, that this meeting was carried out, or this council. I don't expect, and we need to understand, we move the timeline. Remember, You must remember about the timeline. How the Spirit works. He carried out His plan and His purpose in the life of His people. And also for the people of the world. So, at this particular moment of time, in this time of Acts, the believers have not yet realized the liberty that is in Christ. They don't realize their liberty. They came to the gospel and said, okay, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they get baptized and they receive the Holy Spirit, you know, and they come to learn. And of course, the Jews still keep their festivals. Alright, but you know, the Feast of Jehovah. What month, what festival come, they will go to the temple. The men will go to the temple. Yeah, they will do that, they keep that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's very natural. There's nothing wrong with that thing. You see? So God does not God transcends culture. He doesn't come against you in your Chinese culture. That you cannot behave like this. As far as the culture is concerned, that does not contradict the Word of God. He does not go against the culture of the African or the Indian or the Filipino or any nation. You know, when I was young, think about it, when I was young as a Christian, when you do this hand like this to somebody and do this, my impression was that, oh, that's paganism. You understand what I'm saying? Because when I grow as young, I see people, they'll do this in front of an idol. Correct? Or in front of a picture of their grandfather or father, ancestry worship, right? They'll do this. So now when I grew up, of course I had not traveled or anything like that, but you grow up, you know, you see pictures, book, and then you later on the black and white TV comes along, you find that, oh, you show movies or whatever of other countries that come, like Thailand or some other places where they do this to one another. You know, you understand? And even the Japanese, they bow down to each other like that. I was wondering what they know. Is it there? Like it was a culture. You see? But for a lot of people, that's not why we talk about sarong. Well, here in our Asian part, a lot of people just have a wrap around, right? It's just plainly called sarong here, or India called ronde. Or in America, what do they call it? A wrap around, a towel, wrap around. But to them, like Dr. Bruce, that is a female thing. Then that's where the problem is, because they do not know culture. They say that we do, as the Bible said, then they should not shake hands. Because the shaking of hand comes from American spirit, back then in the day of the Wild West. You know how you start to put up the hand and say, I have no gun, say my hand. So the other gun put their hand out there, and then they start to shake. Today what they do, tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. You know how they do that? You know how young people do that, all those shaking of hand now? Very nice to watch, huh? You see? Yeah. And you know how the Muslim people, when they greet each other and they put their hand to their heart, right? I like that. You see? They're supposed to sing, show your sincerity that you receive, you know, this greeting. Because it's a culture, it signifies something. Yeah. Then I think that the Western people Christians should actually not shake hands. They should hug one another. Not only hug one another, kiss the left cheek, right cheek, and left cheek again. They should do that. Why are they not doing it? You see, God does not come against your culture. And what do they have with the COVID virus coming on? Nobody wants to shake hands. Why would they do? They use the elbow bump. Some people use the leg to keep it, tap each other's leg like. I mean, you have to invent something. Something that comes along, you do something like that. And of course, when in China, in those days, I'm not sure whether that is, I think probably it's the same with Asian culture, that when you face a monarch, or a king, or somebody important, you have a chat with him, you don't turn around and show your back and walk out. You have to go back, right, to the door and you go. You don't turn your back to him. You see. Well, I think Asian culture is so much more pleasant to look at than Western culture. I remember when I traveled, when I met some fellow passenger who were American, and I said, oh, they always say, I like to travel with Singapore Airlines, you know, Japan Airlines. I asked them why. Because you see, the steward, they all, the stewardess, the attendant are so polite, so, you know, so what they call, I don't know how you use the, what is that for you? Very attentive, very, what do you call that? No, the way that we Asians serve people, you know, how do we serve, you know, not rough. Your body, you know, you go to United Airlines or Delta Airlines, the women are not so nimble and all this, they serve very kind of rough to them, you know, not attentive. So this one not from here, this one from the Western people, they were complaining, so how they serve, so what's the difference? So because it is their own culture, you see. And what about the Red Indian? Perhaps you go Red Indian, they have a talk with you, they start smoking peace pipe. Are you at peace with me? Smoke. You know, it's a culture. Interesting to know, and I always say this, that this early church, they're beginning to learn. They have not yet realized the liberty that is in Christ, which Paul later on came to propagate it. Perhaps Paul did not really realize, but since he was not part of these elders and apostles of Jerusalem, therefore he made no mention for anything. Alright, so this is, when we look at this now, not having realized the real liberty, they are putting out this law. And from here is an example how creeds and dogma comes in. Okay, what is your statement of faith? What do you believe? You are Christian, what do you believe? Give me your answer. What is your statement of faith? What is your tenor of faith? So, this is just something like that. They list out, this is what you should not do. This is what we should do. This is what we believe not to do. This is what we believe we should do. That sort of thing. Yep. And later on, it's going into an organized church. And I still remember when I was in the Assemblies of God, and it is still today among many denominations, that you cannot eat blood. Alright? Fornication, we all know. Fornication is something that's sexually vile. You know. But to say that we cannot eat, you know, blood or food offered to idol. Yeah, at that time we were very obedient because we don't understand, we just do. We do what the church says, we just follow. We become a creature, we just follow. But when I came to the message and left the denomination, the more that I studied, I realized why Paul was so different. That why Paul's message was rejected by the Jew, that God says, I'll send you now to the Gentiles. And Paul later on expounded all things about the liberty that he had in Christ. Right? Alright, let's go to Leviticus 25, verse 8 to 11. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbath of year unto thee, 7 times 7 years in the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound. on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall be that 50th year unto you. You shall not sow nor reap that which grow of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof of the land. So now, liberty. Every 50th year, after 49, the 50th come, the children of Israel, you know, set the slavery. The thing that belongs to whoever it is, let them have it back. And the land that you have, you should not sow, not reap, just leave it be. You see, the interesting is it is talking about liberty. It's free, everything is free now. And I think in the book of Isaiah, when Jesus read the book of Isaiah, open up, set liberty the captive, right? And liberty. And liberty means total freedom, actually. There is nothing holding you back. You cannot say, okay, I give you your liberty, but you still owe me 1 cent. You must remember to owe, you know, return me back the 1 cent. You know, you set a person liberty, means everything is gone. That Jesus Christ set us free. When we are free indeed. Did he hold anything upon us? Any one sin, little sin, big or small, did he hold to it? No. So that's why I talk about complete liberty. Alright. Then go to Isaiah 61. Just to read that. What Jesus read on the day when he was in the synagogue. And he opened up after he was, you know, baptized and fasted. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Liberty. Proclaim liberty to the captive. And I always say this one, when you are liberated, you are really free indeed. You don't have to worry too much. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1 to 6. Now again, let us look at what Paul here now. That is already way past the Nicene Council. I mean, not Nicene Council, the Jerusalem Council. Chapter 8, verse 1 to 6. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge puffed up, but charity edifying. And if any man think that he knoweth all things, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. If any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. That's what Philo said. Don't think you know what you do not know. Okay, that is the exactly one thing like that, right? But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Obviously, if you say you love God, God must know you. So a lot of people say they love God, but God doesn't know them. You know, as I said this before, we all know President Trump. A person or don't know you. Obviously. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered to in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Yeah. So now, having turned to the Gentile, as God sent Paul to, there's always this believers down there, they're still influenced by Judaism. Out there in Galatia, and here this is Corinthian. In Corinthian is a real mess. Cannot believe it, just like in DRC today. You know, especially DRC. The Lord Jesus, they're in a lot of mess because they don't have the knowledge of the Word. They don't have the understanding of the Word of God. One of the reasons, as I said, they don't have the understanding is because they rely so much on the quotes of Brother Branham. They rely so much on the books and tapes of Brother Branham that they can no longer look into the Bible. The books of Brother Branham the tapes and the books of Brother Branham has become their Bible. And many believe that that is the touch of the Lord, and that is the last day message. And somebody, as they were called by Abraham, this is the last day, this is the message for this generation. And so they hold on to everything, he said, for their salvation. For their so-called, we will say, token to enter into the rapture. But here now, let's look what Paul has said. As touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Yeah, I believe that now Paul is saying, you all know what I've been telling you, you all have knowledge. But then the problem here, he says that knowledge puffed up and love edified. Now he's trying to get to a point to let people understand that you may have knowledge, but do not act foolishly. Right? And that's what I said, many people in that time said this. Their full knowledge, not the word of God, but rather we are of the message, what they understood. And they go around destroying other people's churches and the faith of many believers. You know, I recall this in 1984. There was a believer. They call me up and talk. We actually have a talk. I can't remember his name actually now. And he was full of complaint. And he told me, he said, but again, I went to this particular group. Where is the group? Well, anyway, let me just tell you what he said. I went there and they don't have regular Sunday fellowship. They gather as when and when they like. Saturday, when they are free. So I went and joined them one time, he said. And then I asked the person in charge, because he was gathering in his house, why don't you have regular fellowship? You know? And have someone the Catholic Church. Oh, no. We don't believe in a pastor. To have a pastor means that the church is under Nicolaitanism. Oh. So I know where it comes from. Because it was a book, there was people start following him, the certain brother from Canada. I think it was America. The preacher that wrote this book called The Mystery of Iniquity, where he believed fourfold ministry. And any church that have a pastor is under Nicolaitanism. He got fourfold ministry, yet it's under Nicolaitanism when you have a pastor. Because he believed the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher is one. So there are four. Pastor and teacher is the same person. He still argue with me on that. Over the word Kai. In the Greek word, K-I, prophet and teacher. is one. Now I ask him, I say, what about Pharisees and Sadducees? Are they one? Because you read in the Bible. The Pharisees and the scribes, are they one? So now, Pharisees and Sadducees, they are one. Pharisees and scribes, they are one. So they are all three, they are actually one person. He's a Pharisee, he's a scribe, he's a Sadducee. Wow. And he even told me, the writer of the book. He said, you know, my book went over to the Methodist organization. And they read it, he said, exactly 100% correct. He said to me. I said, really? He needed the approval of the Methodist Church organization to say that the book is true. He said, there's well a lot of knowledge, they have no sense. No, that it's true, but it's so pumped up to say it was true. So this brother told me, he said, you know, he said, oh, we don't believe in the pastor. Then I asked him, so then why are you telling me all this? Well, what about your church you go to? Oh, there's so much confusion, brother, again, there's so many going on. Now he asked me, he had not been to my fellowship at all. He said, what about you, brother? Again? What are you doing? He asked me the question. What are you doing? I said, I have my own ministry. You see? I said, now why are you going to fellowship? Oh, I'm waiting for a sign. Huh? What liberty does he have here? He never have an understanding of the word of God. If you don't know the word of God, well, how do you exercise liberty and the choice of what is right? I'm still waiting for the sign, for the Lord to show me a sign to lead. What sign are you looking for? Oh, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. What? How did you take the verse to mean that God is giving you a sign for you to follow? Matthew, he said, I'm waiting for Matthew 16 to come to pass so that I can follow that a person with this tremendous gift and sign, I know that God is with him. Oh. So he believed in signs and wonders, and then he will follow. Because he just applied, these signs shall follow them that believe. I said, hey, these signs shall follow them that believe, not that you follow the person who performs signs. I said, you know, brother, I have done many signs, right? And he has prayed for many people that don't even heal. Because it's not him that heal. It is God that heal. And God performs signs. It's not brother Abraham performing signs. You know one thing about brother Abraham? You know that he's so humble that he tell you the truth of what he said. I mean what he's doing. Not that all this charismatic Pentecostal preacher of that time. I couldn't believe what they were doing. Brother Abraham said this. You know in the pulpit you saw the video. Right? He stand on a, you know, he keep on talking after he already preaching, he's talking, you know, he's talking about 10 minutes or so. He said, Ivan, you know what I'm waiting for, right? I'm waiting for him to come, right? You know, whether he'll come or not, I don't, have you not, did you watch and remember that? If you don't remember, watch it. I was mesmerized by it. You know, he said, whether he's coming to tonight or not to help me or this, I don't know. If I say anything that is wrong, may he forgive me. He kept on talking, and suddenly he stopped. He's here. Then he said, I'll take control over all this auditorium. Then the person comes after another. And then he disappeared. You see, he's not claiming that he had the power. No, not all of this. Then I told the brother, I said, you talk about quoting Matthew, Mark 16? These signs shall follow them that believe. He said, these signs shall follow you. If you believe, you should perform it. He said, a lot of people just misunderstood that. And that's why in America, you have this sect that play with rattlesnakes. Or drink with some poison. To try to prove their faith. Don't tempt God. That's why people who went to that church and try to live the holy life, play with snakes, and many of them bitten and they die. Rather snakes, venomous snakes. And when the person died, the pastor will say, that brother, he has secret sin. That's why he died. But if you are beaten, you survive. That shows that, well, you are a man of God. You are a daughter of God. Oh my. That's why we have knowledge. If you have true knowledge, people get popped up. If your knowledge and knowledge is not true, you still get puffed up. Because knowledge won't will not get puffed up, right? You see? But the thing is, charity edify, love edify. How do you well exercise that knowledge that you have? That's a liberty that is given to you. You still have a choice to exercise it. You are free to do it. But there's a point trying to come to the point where you do it foolishly. Let us go over to 1 Corinthians 10. 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which you bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The blood which you break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of the one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partaker of the altar? What said I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idol is anything? But I said that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than Him? What is Paul here talking about? What is it? Run away from idol. Then he's talking about, is idol anything? Is the food of the idol anything? And yet we know that whatever the pagan, the Gentile here, of course, is referring to those who are not born in, when they sacrifice to idol, alright, they sacrifice to the devil, not to God. So, can we partake of the cup of the devil and the cup of the Lord? So now, the way that Paul explained this, a lot of people get confused. What is the cup? When you talk about the cup of the devil or the cup of Christ, what is the cup? Can you drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devil? What is drinking? Drinking is taking in life. He's taking in fellowship. The word of the Lord is like water, right? When you drink of it, it quenches us. We fellowship with the Lord in His word. So can we fellowship with the devil? Can we drink of the cup of the devil and then drink of the cup of Christ? That is, can we go and fellowship with the devil? Have anything to do with the devil and sacrifice it to the devil, you know? Have anything to do with idolatry? And fellowship in that way as you will fellowship with Christ. That's what Paul is trying to make you to understand. But yet he is saying, you know, even though he said flee from idolatry. Don't have anything to do with idols. But it doesn't mean that you cannot eat food offered to idols. From this place alone, people said, see, you cannot touch food offered to idol. That's not what Paul said. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians 8 again, verse 7 now. Alright, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some, the conscience of the idol, unto this hour, eat as a thing of offer unto idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Now Paul comes back again, see, because of this, flee from idol. And yet to some who once were idol worshipper, you know, and if you offer to idol, now that they are born again and all that, they have liberty, their freedom, set free, but their mind still think that the idol is something. That the idol is something, so what food offered to idol, therefore, it belongs to the devil, and therefore we cannot eat of that food. Do you get what I'm saying now here? Now, Paul did not ask you, Paul is free from idolatry, means you don't, as a Christian, go enjoy your friend and offer the food to the idol. You got it? You see? But the food that is set before you, even though it's offered to idol by your friend, you can eat it. But you need to have understanding of who's around you. So there's a Paul he's saying here in verse 7. Not that in every man, that knowledge that you are actually free, that the idol is nothing. Because to some of Christian is still something. The idol is still real. You know. But Paul said there is not everyone that they have that knowledge. And so because they are weak and they see somebody eat, you know, they get offended. The conscience, being weak, is defiled. Verse 8. But food commanded us not to God, for neither if we eat it, are we the better. You know, neither if we eat not, are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see that which has knowledge, see the meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idol? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? For, but when you sin so against the brethren, and will wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world stand, lest I make my brother to offend. Well, that's simple to understand. If the brother doesn't have the knowledge that there is nothing, and still have the conscience, and if he see you sitting down there eating food offered to idol, Paul said, would you not cause him to fall? Right? To lose his faith? Especially when you are an older believer. You see? So Paul says that if eating meat offered to idol cause a brother in a way will cause a brother to fall, then I will not eat meat for the rest of my life. You get the point of what I'm saying? A brother one time, when I was in America, stayed with him. Wonderful family, but they are very much, you know, very religious, we'll say. So he asked me, "Brother Gan, do you have a television at home?" I said, "Yeah." In those days, we have the black and white television, right? No flat screen. One with hitch like an old monitor. I said, "Yeah, I have it." "Oh, Brother Gan, you have that? You know, you shouldn't have a television." And he mentioned a little bit about Brother Bram said. You know, kind of strange, you know. And I says, "Why is it so?" He said, "No, Brother Gan, you have a television, I'm offended. You offended me." I said, "Oh, okay, brother, I'm sorry then." I said, "No, brother, you offended me too." He said, "What? Well, how did I offend you?" "You have a car. Nice car, I don't have it." And I said, "That Christians do not have a big, nice car like that. You offended me." Then he got the point. Can it be truly that you're offended because I have a television? You're offended because I have a car? Now, you know me. If I have a car, Mercedes Benz, then I think you'll be offended. So, whoa, where did I go? Where did you get a car? Right. You see? But if I like a motorcycle that is almost breaking down ever so often, say, oh, yeah, wonderful, brilliant. You see, the problem is anybody can say anything. Just being silly, you know what I mean? But you cannot say you're offended by this, you're offended by that. Sure. If I go out there, if you're offended me of eating mee siam every week, and you come and tell me. Okay, then I will tell you that you're offending me every day that you eat rice. You say, how silly things can be. And, but that brother was just thinking that, why I have a television at home? You know, television in Singapore is not a television in America. The thing that they have on TV, there's so many stations in all the jungles that are there. You know, here in Singapore, we only have one station. They are beaming out in those days. 1 Corinthians, last passage. Chapter 10, go back to 10 again. And continue from verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. Let no man seek his own, but another man's wealth. Correct. We don't seek our own, right? Okay. We seek another man's wealth. Wealth here means what? Not money, huh? His spiritual wealth. Okay. Also, whatsoever is sown in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Now, here is where Brother Paul makes so clear, but yet people do not understand. So whatever you buy in the shop, whatever you buy in the marketplace, the hawker place, the food court, the food center, whatever, you see the food that you want to eat, you don't ask any question. Right, you understand? Yeah, I remember when Brother Andrew P was here, I told you, I took him down to Chinatown, have that, Mee Siam. And, of course, I know that was not the place. It was APOSH. We have a meeting and then we have two meetings and then in the afternoon, after the morning, we eat that fish food soup. And then you have the seafood, mixed seafood soup, you know. So, I ordered my mixed seafood soup, he wanted fish. So he asked me, what is that thing that looks like the prawn? I said, what is that? I said, there's prawn. You know, I said, it's a try. I said, no, no, no. You see, people who are living in a landlocked country, they don't see prawn. And a prawn to them is kind of strange creature, right? You know? And even when I was there, back in those days, in Uganda and all this stuff, about the black chicken that we eat and the crab that we eat, so what, you eat the sea spider? You know, to them it's a spider. Yeah, look like a spider, no doubt about it. Huh? So, you know, when you don't know what you look at a food that you've never seen before, you kind of feel eerie. But Paul here is not talking about us that we can ask questions. Hey, what is that? What is it, tasty or something? And you don't want it, it's okay. You know what I mean? Okay, but he's talking about Corinthians, like a city where they jumped out, they saw all kinds of food. But now you go to China, you have dog meat, you have rat meat, you have monkey meat, and all the things out there. You see, so whatever you look at the store, whatever they sell, or somebody serve it to you, pause it, just eat and don't ask questions. Okay, why? For the herb is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The whole herb belongs to the Lord, whatever is come out from the earth, not the world, whatever the earth can produce. If any of them that believe not ask you to go to a feast. Now remember, this is Corinthian, not to the Gentile he's speaking to. I mean, he's speaking to the Gentile in Corinthian. Corinth, he's not speaking to the Jew. Therefore, he said, if any of them that believe not, that means not Christian, ask you to go to his feast, a feast, not the Jewish feast, okay? And you'll be disposed to go because, well, you know, you're a business partner or something like that. You know, good friend, come on, man, come and eat and all that, you go. You know, and Whatsoever is set before you, eat, and don't ask questions for conscience sake. You understand? Don't say, what is this? Huh? What is that? Just eat it. You take it the function, you like it, you eat it. Maybe it's dog meat, maybe it's snake meat. Maybe whatever it is, just take a little and try first. If you like it, eat more. Don't like it, just don't ask questions. Don't say, yee, that's terrible. You know, or, oh, this is good. And if it tells you, this one is good, yeah, I don't think you want to know what you are eating. And then you have a problem too. You see? So Paul just many times will say, keep your cool. Alright, keep calm. But if any man say unto you, now here is, if anybody said to you, this is offer in sacrifice unto idol, eat not for his sake. That showed it. And for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So if any man say this is meat for offer the idol, for his sake, don't eat it. And for the conscience sake too, don't eat it. You understand? You don't like, oh, anyway, I'm a Christian, I eat anything and everything. Back in those days when I was living in Queenstown, I have a neighbor who is a pagan. Every time they have festival, they will bring food to me. You know, and she knows, the elderly woman knows that we are Christian. She brought the food to us. And she said this to me, I know you are Christian. And some Christians don't eat food offered to the Chinese God. Some Christians do. Okay. So, if you are comfortable eating, go ahead. We'll just offer it to you. Alright? And she gave it to me. I said, thank you. She walked away. So I said, grace, and I eat it. You understand what I mean? So some people, they know. It's to how you are being taught. But if I have someone happen to be in my home, is a Christian who is weak, and this woman give it to me like that, and this Christian beside me, I won't eat it. You know what I mean? You might ask, yeah, what are you taking it? Why are you taking this food? I said, look, being neighbor. Don't say, hey, no, I don't want it. What are you going to say, right? They give it to you. If you don't want to eat it because you're weak, then just give it to somebody outside or throw it away. Then. Don't offend somebody. Your non-Christian friend don't say, oh, I'm Christian, you are, I don't worship, I don't eat the food. What do you think? Well, you offend the person, don't you? Correct, you will. Just be good and say, thank you very much. You know? But you want to say, I'm a Christian, you know? I'm very grateful for you to give. If you know that the person can understand you, but some do not, they get offended. Verse 29. Conscience, I said not your own, but of the person, the other person. For what is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? Huh? Why is my freedom being judged? Yeah, but you have freedom, but that doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want. That your liberty, remember, you make a choice. Exercise the choice of liberty correctly for the conscience of the other person. Don't cause the person to fall. Because he's weak. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. We all have liberty. We have our conscience clear. Right? We have the profit from the Lord. But you know what? I don't seek my own profit for the others. That the other person may go more in the grace and understand in the liberty of the Lord. Amen? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you for grace. Thank you for liberty, Lord. And we pray, Father, in all that we are, as your children, the liberty comes responsibility to Father. And the choices that we make, that we will not stumble the wicked brother or sister. Continue to grant us grace, Lord. Continue to grant us more of your word as we eat it day to day. The Lord in our fellowship one with another and with you as one body, one bread. The Lord, as we partake the communion cup of the Lord Jesus Christ, that truly, truly we grow in your grace, your love, agape. That we get closer to you more and more each day until we see you, Father, face to face in the day that the Lord Jesus comes. We thank you, Father, asking for your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen.